Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on whatever time you are listening and wherever you are listening from. My name is Danuta, and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Today, I am meeting with a man that could be called a jack of all trades and maybe even an academic scholar. Fortunately, he is just your regular old student studying at American University of Sharjah. Please welcome Mr. Aman Siddique.
Hi everyone, I'm so glad to be here.
So, Aman, do you mind just quickly giving us a quick introduction about yourself?
Sure. I mean, you pretty much covered everything, but hi everyone. I'm Aman and I do international studies at the American University of Sharjah. I'm also minoring in economics and environmental policy because who doesn't love a good trio? And outside all the academic and nerdy stuff, I enjoy photography, gaming, and kind of reading, traveling, that kind of stuff.
So more or less a Mr. World type of vibe I'm getting from you, aren't I?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but sure, I'd like to be eventually.
Well, I guess we're gonna find out with today's episode. All right. So a few things, obviously, Aman. First of all, thank you for coming on the show. One thing I want to ask with you is you recently actually took a semester abroad in the United Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken. So how was that experience studying in the UK compared to studying back here in the UAE?
It was amazing. It was insightful, fun, and humbling. Living outside by yourself, you learn a lot in that process in terms of being independent and being in a whole new country is like a new cultural experience, more perspectives, and just the academic culture is different. And I don't mean that in like a good or a bad sense. It's like objectively different because I studied in the American system here and I went to the UK and that's the British system. So it's different. So it was a great experience, and I pretty much traveled around and all of the time that I wasn't actually getting assignments done. And yeah, I'd recommend everyone listening to this to do an exchange in wherever. Like if you're listening to this from a UK university, do an exchange in the UAE or something. Like it truly it's going to be a fun experience regardless.
I mean, are you sure that the difference in the American system and the Britishism wasn't a little bit of a fight or struggle for you?
Oh, actually, it wasn't because the British system for my degree at the University of Sussex was pretty much assignments, and I write and research quite a lot, so that it worked out for me. I didn't have any complaints.
It was more or less like it's back home in Sharjah, more or less, wasn't it?
No, it was actually different. Like American system makes you do a lot of things. Their assessment pattern is a lot more spread out, and it's not just a paper. There's also like exams and stuff. So it
Oh,
was
okay.
different, but I liked it better.
Fair enough. I mean, we're all used to like different academic forms at the end of the day, but hey, it seems like you had an amazing time in Sussex.
For sure, yeah.
So actually touching upon that, so obviously you obviously have been living in the United Arab Emirates for a few years now and studying at the same time. You are kind of a local student, as many people would call it, even though you're not from the UAE. But having lived in the UK and having lived in the UAE studying, what are the biggest changes you had to make as a student to your lifestyle when it came to getting that extra boost of independence?
Interesting question. So I guess to set the context, during my time at Sussex, I did live on campus, so that I had it made it easier for me in some regards because I didn't have to spend on traveling and I didn't have like 1 hour of travel every day. It was like a 5 to 15 minutes walk. So in that sense, it was good. But otherwise, when you're independent and when you're out there, you have to learn certain non-academic skills as well, like managing your finances, budgeting, saving, all that kind of stuff. And in university especially, and when you're outside, what happens is you tend to be in this situation where no one can hold you accountable except for yourself. So you have to be very self-driven. I mean, yeah, technically deadlines and bad scores can hold you accountable, but you don't want to get to that point, right? Like that's not the ideal way of being
For
held
sure.
accountable. So
For sure. I can
yeah.
see where you're coming
And
with it.
just getting used to the culture in different places. That could take a bit of time initially, like shops closing at 7 p.m. Seriously, that
Wait,
was a bit hard
what?
to get used to. Yeah, oh, you didn't know that? Shops, most shops they close at like 7 p.m. People have dinner at 7 p.m.
Oh.
I have my evening tea here at 7 p.m. So I was like, what? I'm not having dinner now. What do you mean?
I come home from university at 7 p.m., man. I don't think I'd survive that.
Oh God.
Wow. Well, obviously, a huge culture shift was definitely involved with your transfer studies. And with the topic of culture shifts, was there anything in particular, apart from the shops closing at 7 p.m., that kind of shocked you when you were studying in the UK in comparison to studying here, or now continuing to studying here at AUS?
So nothing actually shocked me. I was pretty well prepared for everything. Like I
Oh,
knew what to
really?
expect in terms of the assessment pattern and like, the whole no bidet situation. So I got a portable one
Oh,
myself.
God.
And I also
Oh.
knew that shops close at 7 p.m. That's the case in many places. Like I've traveled to Thailand before and it's the same over there. So I was
Oh,
completely
okay.
prepared. Ironically, the things that I wasn't prepared for was like certain comforts that you have here. So picture this, right? I walk into a grocery store at, let's say, 5 to 6 p.m. and it's a well-known grocery store. You could call it the Lulu of UK. And I'm looking for whole milk and I don't find it. It's out of stock
Whoa, wait,
because
hold
it
on. What?
yeah,
What?
they restock things at the end of day. Like they don't have people to like constantly restock stuff every hour to make sure that you get whatever you need at any given time of day. So that's like the only thing that shocked me. Everything else was I was prepared for it.
Okay, I'm now in shock that. Okay, wow. So basically, if by 2 p.m. they were out of milk for the day, they're out of milk for the day.
Yep, you have to wake up in the morning if you want to get all your groceries. And that's why I switched to semi-skimmed because I was not waking up at 8 a.m. to do groceries. I'm like, it's fine. I'm here for 3 months. I'm going to deal with this. Not by waking up in the morning.
We all make our compromises.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm pretty sure that at least until I become a working adult, not to go to the UK for studies for even 3 months. I cannot survive without whole milk.
I mean, you can just get like 10 cartons of long life whole milk in one go and then not worry about it for quite a bit.
That is not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea. Oh, man. Well, anywho, obviously, now that's a little bit about Aman's university life and student experience, or at least living in comparison. The next thing I actually want to talk about is things about you. Now, one of your biggest commitments or your biggest movements as an individual is your blog. For those that don't know, Aman actually runs his own blog called The Vigilant Mind. So, you mind just talking a little bit about that?
Sure, of course. Let's all be vigilant together, I guess.
Oh,
I
man.
started my blog in 2017. I used to write about social issues and like personal development related topics from quite before then. But then, there has to be a place where you organize and like preserve content, which is why I started a blog. And it's thevigilantmind.com, fairly easy to remember and find online. So basically, I cover things that are of youth relevance. So, social issues, study strategies, personal development, leadership, research and writing, political commentary, that kind of stuff. And yeah, my hope is to influence thought and engage discussions.
When it came to creating the posts for your blog, how did inspiration or the topics of each what do you call it, blog post come up? Because obviously I've actually read a few of your posts. I'm an avid reader actually, so I'm on good job. And your topics can go from very different, aspects. It can be on personal things about false responsibility, on or a little bit more, how do you say, academic things, or even political and sustainable things. So like about recycling and the suggestions about them. So how does the inspiration for those topics actually just pop to you?
So I'm pretty active on like social media and not in a doom scrolling 7,000 reels per second way, but like engaging with topics and seeing what people have to say about different things and actually seeing what people's opinions are and going through all of that and like actual academic readings and sometimes even books. That's when ideas come to me and I read things and I'm like, I could be like, hey, that's really good. I should probably expand on it, or that might not be the best take ever. Maybe there's a different way to look at it. Those kind of things make me come up with topics like, surely there's a different way to approach this. Like you mentioned recycling, and honestly, on the face of it, recycling is an incredibly cliche topic, and most approaches to it are fairly the same. But if you see my post on recycling, I think it's pretty novel. It was a different approach. It has like a survey research kind of method to it, and like approaching how you can look at recycling in a pragmatic way and not in, a pseudo woke, I love the environment way, but then you end up not knowing how to actually
So it's
recycle stuff.
so not really in the more traditional radical style of recycling, is what you're trying to say, right?
I mean, I wouldn't use the words traditional and radical, but surface level would be a more fitting word.
Okay. And do you feel like your blog, or one of the main aims of your blog is to help people see a different, is to see a different view on certain topics which maybe they've never even thought to look into?
That's kind of also why it's literally called the vigilant mind, because like,
Oh,
guys,
all
be vigilant.
right. Okay, I get it now. That's fair play. So it's actually like also, for one way, very cool, and on another way, is keep does keep people very vigilant. So fair play on that, Aman.
Thank you. Glad to hear
And
that.
and I liked actually like you talked about a lot of the academic or the research part, because another amazing thing about you, or for everyone listening, another amazing thing about Aman is his research in academia, current work and past. Currently, he's received a research grant from the American University of Sharjah to work on research on to work on academic research papers. One of which has been publicly posted through an academic conference, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the fourth global conference on women's studies held in London back in late 2022. Am I right?
Yep, sounds about right.
So, how was that experience of actually working on a research paper, and not just like a regular research paper for an assignment, but actually on an academic research paper, publicly posted as well? So, how was that experience?
It's lovely, but it's also probably the most excruciating task I have engaged with in the last 1 year. Like,
Oh,
as
come
you
on.
ask me this question, I'm having like these abstract visions of Excel sheets and like loads of text and like interview flashbacks playing in my head because
The horrors
it's
are coming back like a
the horrors
flashback.
are coming back, but also the products are there. So it's a very it's a good learning curve. You learn a lot from the research process, and my advisor considered my project incredibly ambitious. So I tried to do a lot within 1 year. So the excruciating part is partially on me, but we move ahead.
So you had
It's lovely. It's not like random news channels just waking up and deciding they have an opinion and then they post it online, because you actually pay attention to fact and make sure things are generally correct and applicable instead of just some random opinion that probably doesn't apply to more than half the world. So but that also makes it incredibly difficult, but I guess that's kind of the fun part. And then presenting it at the conference among other researchers is also incredible. You get to hear feedback. And sometimes it grills you, but that's also the fun part. That's
Yeah.
where the learning comes in. And then when you attend conferences, you get to grill others too if you notice gaps in what
So it's
they've
a push
done.
and pull. It's a push and pull.
sort of, yeah. You learn either way, it's good or bad.
I mean, like, here's the thing. The fact that you took the leap to actually do a full-blown academic research in itself was, of course, a very ambitious project. But the result at the end, definitely eye-opening and definitely, expansive for you. So once again, well, congratulations, Aman, on actually completing the research. But
Thank
another
you. Thank
thing,
you very much.
welcome. And another thing I actually found out about you is the review aspect of the academic of your academic paper, because obviously it's not been publicly posted as an academic through an academic conference. But ever since that day, you've been working with other academic reviewers to publish the paper in a legitimate like article or a journal. If I'm not mistaken, it being the Writing Center journal. So what has that experience been working with other academic reviewers on that paper, directly? An opportunity that many people probably would never get.
Right. So, quick clarification. So that's like an entirely different paper that I'm working on for the Writing Center Journal, with academic reviewers. And there's a couple other stuff I'm trying to write, but with the Writing Center Journal, they've actually got back to my submission, with like feedback where I'm gonna work on it again
Oh,
and
my mistake.
hope push for publication. No, it's completely all right. So that's the interesting part about how the world of publishing within academia works. The entire process is incredibly long. You submit an article, it gets anonymously sent to like editors. They review it first, and then if they think it's worthy enough of like actual scholars reviewing it, then it gets sent to like two editors, two, no, not editors, two reviewers who are basically experts in the field, who then decide if this is like good stuff. It's basically the scientific process. And then they give you feedback, and then you get it back, and then you have to like work on the feedback to edit things and then send it back. And then if it's good, then they move for publication. So it takes months, depending on the journal, could even take a year or more. And it's a very, you have to be very patient through that whole process. But again, there's been a lot of learning, because when you hear from reviewers, it's again, it's new perspectives, it's things that you might have missed out on initially. And that's also what makes the kind of skills that you learn in research and academia, it's objective. And you sort of know that you're doing things which, again, it's not like you wake up, have an opinion, and then not get it checked and end up publishing it.
I
So
see
I
where you're
think
coming from.
I really enjoy making things make proper sense, even though it requires a lot of patience.
I mean, hey, on top of actually writing an amazing, of course, I'm hoping it will be an amazing academic paper, and I have complete faith that it will be. You also learn a lot of, from how it sounds, quite a couple of skills as well, because let's be real, being a university student, learning patience is possibly the greatest thing you can learn as a student. God knows I need to learn my patience sometimes.
I think it also means that sometimes people around me need to be patient. There's this joke with some of my friends and I that if they ask me a completely random question that possibly has like a very straightforward answer, what I might end up saying is, it depends.
Oh, for
Because I'm
God,
like
no.
already overthinking it. It's not that bad, but sometimes it do be like that.
Hey, when you're an academic researcher, you gotta slip into the shoes once in a while, once in a while.
Yeah, but just not always, like
I mean, hey, you gotta
yeah.
regulate that. You gotta regulate that.
Definitely should not become your whole entire personality.
Well, let's hope not for you.
Yeah, no, I'm very particular about that. I don't want to end up being like a snobby guy who starts picking out at people's word use if they said like, oh my god, you
Sounds
used the wrong key term. No, not
sounds
gonna
like
happen.
Sheldon. Sounds like Sheldon Cooper.
Oh God, I don't get the reference. I'm sorry.
Oh my God! It's from The Big Bang Theory. You should actually watch
I
it.
know where it's from because of the amount of times people have said like made a Big Bang reference, but I don't get the reference itself.
When you see a few clips on YouTube, you'll understand.
I see, I see.
All right. Moving forward, another cool thing about Amman is an extracurricular activity. Now I know what you're thinking. Academic research, is that not extracurricular? Guys, whoever's listening could assume that working on an academic paper is a fun extracurricular. I think from hearing Aman just now, there's a lot of man hours put into it. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the major academic extracurriculars Aman takes part in is actually Model United Nations or MUNs. So how about giving us a little background to your experience in Model United Nations, Aman?
Sure. So it was actually one of the things that narrowed down what I wanted to study in university as well. Like attending all the events, MUNs kind of stood out the most to me, mostly in terms of like the substantive content, you know, policies, politics, debating, and finding solutions to global issues. But apart from that, like in the short run, it's such a versatile thing to do. Like you learn so much from it, and there's so much good to it. Like even beyond productiveness or like learning skills, it has such a vast social aspect. Like you don't have to be into politics or international studies to go to an MUN. I mean, you can always take like a simple committee, but if and spend some time on the debate part, but then you know the social life, the socials in it, and making new friends, hearing out different perspectives, all of that is amazing. And for me, the research part and the actual debate part also matters, because that's also so much to learn, like research, putting your words down, debating with others, sticking to like foreign policies and like analyzing other people's policies and then finding the allies. I just realized this sounds so overwhelming. It's not that
All
daunting. I'm just putting everything together, which is
right,
why it sounds
so
that way. But yeah.
if you could frame MUNs in a phrase, let's say, how would you frame it in a phrase?
I'd call it a fun simulation of the United Nations that gives you a platform to learn a lot and think about the world's issues, provide solutions to them, while also learning a lot and possibly making friends and having fun.
Considering I've gone for a few MUNs, that's honestly the best way you can actually frame it, summed up into a couple of words. But no, like,
Glad.
but no, actually asking MUNs to you, for a lot of people, extracurriculars can shape how they are as individuals. How has MUNs shaped you as an individual when it comes to academia, personally? But how has MUNs had an effect with you in your life?
So, apart from the things that I just stated, one of the biggest advantages it has had for me is like it's had a snowballing effect. Because when you meet people in MUNs, most of the time they're also engaged in other extracurriculars and like other MUNs. So, what happened after my first conference in 2017 is I didn't know of other conferences, but it was the people that I met in the first conference that told me about other conferences. And then it sort of just spirals from there. I attend the next conference, they tell me about more opportunities, and it just keeps going. And then you also make more friends in like the same snowballing effect kind of way. And I think I'm a fairly social person, so I particularly enjoyed that apart from all the nerdy stuff I said before.
I mean, hey, not every something, sometimes a little bit nerdy is always cool, all right? I'm not going to deny it, being a certified nerd
Course, of course.
myself. Anyways, with that being said, that is all the time we have for today's episode. But before we end, I do have one final question to Aman, and that is, when it came, it's, this is specifically about your blog. In your opinion, which was your favorite blog post to write? And in what way did you try to make it as argumentative as possible compared to the popular opinion?
I hate this question so much. You know the diversity I have. I'm like 80 plus posts at this point, and you want me to pick one out of them? Like, that is
Okay. All right,
so
so
unvigilant.
all right.
But But if you wanted me to give an answer, I would say it's the post titled "The Cost of Being Apolitical," mostly because of how novel it is, and I even made like a diagram in it to show
You like made your
the
own
cost
diagram.
of being apolitical. Yeah, I did.
Oh wow. How did that pan out with the readers?
Really well. That's actually a couple others have also told me it's their favorite post among the things that I've normally said. So yeah,
Well,
I've
that's
actually
actually kind of
incorporated
cool.
parts of it in speeches that I usually give in places. So it was also some solid research. So go ahead and give it a read and reach out to me after, I guess.
Wow, well, that's actually quite crazy to hear. So, with that being said, Aman, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you had an amazing time. And thank you to everyone listening to this episode. If you guys want to check out Aman on social media, you can follow him at Aman Pai on Instagram. Be sure to check out his blog as well, The Vigilant Mind. And with that being said, thank you once again, Aman, and I hope everyone enjoyed listening to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Thank you and have a great day or evening ahead.
Bye everyone, it was lovely being here.